So now we are on to chapter 6, which is customer profiling. In the previous chapters, we've also discussed how important it is to personalize everything. So that also brings us to the point that customer profiling is extremely important in today's world. There was a time when customer profiling was a luxury, but it is no longer so, and everything needs to be customized as per the customer. So how do we do customer profiling? So what does customer profiling tell us about? Customer profiling is the process of gathering and analyzing data about individual customers to create comprehensive profiles or personas. So now, when we are talking about customer profiling, understand in this chapter we are basically going to discuss two aspects. We are going to discuss customer profiling, and towards the midpoint and later, we are going to discuss what we call as customer personas. So we'll understand what is the difference between the two and how both of them can help us understand more about the customer or help me understand better how the entire marketing goes or how can I make the entire scenario much more efficient. So going on to the next point, which says these profiles encompass various attributes, include demographic information, age, gender, location, psychographic traits, which is aptitudes, interests, lifestyle, behavioral patterns, purchase history, engagement letter, and technographic factors. Okay, so now what you're going to do, so before I explain the second point, let us first look at the last point, which says the goal of customer profiling is to gain a deeper understanding of each customer, which enables businesses to deliver more personalized and relevant marketing messages, products, and experience. Okay, so we understood what is customer profiling. Customer profiling, obviously, like the first point says, has a lot to do with the data and analyzing the data. Now we are not analyzing the data, keeping in mind a business objective or other goals that we have. Here, the primary goal or the business objective is how is my customer profile? Is he profiled or is he segmented in the right category? And if he has done that, then how have I done that? Now understand that each one parameter. So when I talk about the demographic, it tells me a lot about the age, gender, and location where the person is. So if I'm an online brand, yes, the location might not matter, or the location might matter to me in the terms of shipping. But if I'm an offline brand, then the location will definitely matter to me when I have a physical store and people need to reach out to me at my physical store. Age, gender play a large amount of difference. Probably some, obviously I cannot sell sarees to maybe the male gender. So what are you selling? Also matters with regards to your gender. Age, the Gen Z or the Gen X will have completely different profiles that you're looking at, or will have completely different marketing buying tendencies. So that again, that's why the demographic information plays a very vital role. Along with them comes now the psychographic traits of the person. What are those? What is the attitude? Is there a positive attitude? Are they looking for more positive messages? What does it help me do? It helps me to design, which we will talk about later, the content better as per their attitude. What are their interest levels? What are their hobbies? What is the kind of lifestyle they lead? So if I'm maybe interested in fitness and my lifestyle will be more of eating healthy, working out, having a schedule around all of that. So all of that depends. Even as a lifestyle, I might prefer going on treks, adventurous activities, and all of that. Another thing, the behavioral pattern. So what do we mean by the behavioral pattern? Purchase history, engagement level. What is the engagement level on various social media websites? Am I more into Instagram or am I more into Facebook? Where exactly can I basically target the customer more effectively? What is the purchase history? Have I purchased a smartwatch in the past? Have I purchased a gym membership? Or have I purchased some other thing? What have I purchased? Is it a mobile phone? Is it clothing? Is it accessories? What has been the purchase history? What I've been buying frequently? Is there a pattern to the purchases? And all of that. Then, so those, everything tells me about the behavioral pattern. Then we have various technographic factors. What is the technology usage? What is the online behavior? How much time am I spending online? Like I said previously also, am I spending more time going to post, going to reels? Yes, all that information is now, if you all remember in chapter 2 where we spoke about all the types of data, we spoke about getting databases or the new databases that are now available from social media websites. So all of that behavior can be tracked. What mobile phone do I use? What laptop do I use? Do I have a tab or an iPad for that matter? A smartwatch? Everything would come under the technology usage of a customer. So that was basically how I would place the factors I would consider while profiling a customer. So what exactly is customer segmentation? It is a practice of dividing a customer base into distinct and homogeneous groups or segments based on common characteristics or behaviors. These segments share similar needs, preferences, and responses to marketing efforts. Let's just complete this slide before I go further into the details. By segmenting customers, businesses can identify high-value groups and tailor marketing strategy to target each segment effectively. Segmentation allows marketers to design more targeted and efficient marketing campaigns, maximizing the impact of their efforts and resources. So as we go ahead, you would also need to understand that a lot of it has to do with ROI, which is return on investment. How much am I spending? Can my spending be much more effective so that I get a better response to my marketing? I can effectively maybe sell a new product or acquire more customers, maybe design a referral program based on the customer segmentation and the profiling of the customer. Because a customer segmentation, so if you see, it says very clearly in the first bullet point where I'm talking about is the practice of dividing a customer base into distinct and homogeneous groups of segments based on common characteristics or behavior. These segments share similar needs, preferences, and response to marketing efforts. So it could be divided by age. So it could be a combination of all the characteristics mentioned over here. It could be a combination of demographic information, psychographic information, behavioral patterns, technographic information. Based on all these characteristics, I could create one group of similar people with similar choices, similar characteristics, similar behavior. And then accordingly, I can create groups depending on how many groups or how many clusters I want to create for that purpose. Now, once I've selected, now suppose I have, so we all know that going back to the iPhone example, we know that iPhone would primarily deal with the high profile customers or people who are into luxury brands. So then when I've segmented the customers and if I'm launching a new product in the Apple category, then I would preferably target those customers. Or even if Samsung or any other so mobile provider like OnePlus is coming up with something that costs maybe more than 50,000, then probably they will need to segment their customer base to understand who are the people who are likely to buy. So now what I'm doing is I am designing my marketing strategy for these specific groups because they have been segmented and they are available to me. I'm able to design my marketing segment for these particular groups that help me understand that these are probably the set of people, and out of this, there is a higher chance that they would buy the new product that I'm launching. So that's what this talks about. So how does it help me? We've spoken about most of this. It helps me with personalized marketing. Today, I can market a particular product or a particular deal to the customer because it would suit their needs. It is exactly what they are looking for. Optimized resource allocation, targeting messaging, improved customer retention, new product development, enhanced customer segmentation, competitive advantage, data-driven decision-making, consumer-centric approach, and improved return on investment. So we spoke about personalized marketing, optimized resource allocation, because now I am diverting. So earlier, if you go back to traditional marketing, what would we do? We would just randomly target the whole general public. So suppose I've launched a new luxury brand and I would just put a pamphlet in the newspapers and invite everybody. And I would not even at times worry about the location. But that is not how it works. Because if it is a luxury brand, the products are going to be more than a certain average amount that people normally spend. Am I specifically targeting those people, or what part of my general public is those people that will buy more than the average value? So I can now allocate my resources better to people that I'm targeting based on the target group that I've selected. Again, the same thing applies for targeting messaging. Also, the customer profiling, let me know, am I a better responder on an email, or do I like an email better? Do I like an SMS better? Do I like a WhatsApp message better? And based on that behavior also, I will know how exactly to reach out to the customer to share the updates. Improved customer retention. In chapter 2, we spoke specifically about customer loyalty and how important it is to basically retain my customers who have been there. Not only does it affect the customer lifetime value, it affects also my free mouth, word of mouth or mouth to mouth publicity that the customer is providing me. Now understand that by profiling my customer, I know what exactly is the customer looking for. Like, again, going back, if I'm a brand that is probably selling food items and the customer has now shifted to, when I talk about shifted, we will also talking about customer profiling and segmentation being an ongoing approach. So we will discuss that. So it is possible that the profile might change. So earlier I was into maybe non-veg food and I've shifted now to veg food, or even for that matter, I've shifted to vegan food. Now, for the brand like that, if my brand does not offer vegan food, the customer is going to leave. No matter the best offers I give the customer, because it does not suit their food preferences, and mine is a food brand. So to retain such a, now because I know the customer profile and I know that customer is moving to a vegan diet, I would need to design a new product, which also brings us to the next point, which is new product development. Just to see, understand, will it answer a lot of people? Will it save this customer? Is it worth saving or not saving? So now I have customized even my retention plan based on the profile. That means I'm trying to give the customer what he needs and not just randomly give him any offers and deals that are available. So we spoke about new product development. It works two ways. Either I can use it for customer retention, or I can use it to acquire new customers. Do I have that sort of customer base that I want to target? Enhanced customer segmentation. So better understanding of my customers, better segmentation of my customers, better grouping of my customers. Obviously, it gives me a competitive advantage. Is my customer looking for money, a better price? Is he looking for better quality? Can I provide them against that? Can I provide it against with my competitors or not? What is my USP and how can I use my USP better? Data-driven decision-making. Now understand that earlier, like I said, it was very random. I did not have the data in times of our parents or grandparents for that matter. Newspaper was probably the most common way. So we would run full page ads, take up a space in the front page, the second page, third page, or maybe in the Bombay Times section, the entertainment section, depending on what exactly am I looking for. Now, what has happened is because I have the data that is available, I'm able to make better decisions on how to contact the customer, what are the profiles I want to target, what are the deals I want to put, and all of that. Then I have. So not only is my decision more data driven, my approach to the customer in every way is now more customer centric. It is designed exclusively for that particular segment, or for that, even at times, for that particular customer. And obviously all of this, what does it ensure? An improved return on investment. So what are the key variables? We've discussed most of this and we'll just go through those key variables again. So customer profile variables are nothing but specific characteristics and attributes used to create comprehensive customer profiles. These variables have helped businesses understand their customers better and tailor marketing strategies to meet their needs effectively. So that is what we have been talking about. So what are these key customer profile variables? We have demographic variables, we have psychographic variables, behavioral variables, technographic variables, purchase intent, customer lifetime value, pain points and needs, communication preferences. So all of this will now encompass my customer profiling that I would be doing. So some of these, like we've spoken to, so I'll just quickly run through them. So demographic variables are all to do with the demographics of the customer, which is age, gender, marital status, education level, occupation, income, location, age of number of years of experience, and all of that is the, you know, how many places has he visited, what kind of a profile does that person hold. So all of that comes under the demographic variables. Then we have what we call as the psychographic variables. What are the psychographic variables? Basically, in data that includes information like what are my interests, what are my hobbies, what are my values, what are my attitudes, what are my lifestyle choices, what are my personality traits, and what are the opinions. Where can I get this information? I can get this information in a lot of different places. Understand, most of this you will need to connect to the new databases or the emerging databases that are available in the market from chapter 2. So also, because a lot of it has to do is important to remember that a lot of data set is now available with all of this information for us. So we can know what are the interests, what are hobbies they are valued, what are the values they have, what are the attitudes. So if they are a person who is no plastic, you would want to, you know, address it by choosing a paper bag, or lifestyle choices. Like I said, we from a vegan vegetarian, I moved to a more vegan diet. Personality, what kind of personality do I have? What are my opinions, which is easily possible through text mining? Then all our behavior variables. What are the behavioral variables? Purchase history, frequency of purchases, brand loyalty, what are my engagement levels, and response to marketing campaigns. So what kind of behavior, all my behavior will have to do, what kind of behavior do I display? Am I loyal to a particular brand? So will I purchase products only from a particular brand? So like most of the time it happens with Apple users, most of them will only purchase. So if I have an iPhone, I will have an iPad, a MacBook Air or a Pro. So everything will be from Apple, which just shows that I'm a brand loyal to Apple, and I will not even change over a period of time. How frequently am I making the purchases? So how frequently am I purchasing the Apple products? What does mean my purchase history? When did I start purchasing? How much have I spent? Again, all of that later as we discuss will also help me understand the customer lifetime value. And how do I respond to marketing campaigns? Then technographic variables will include everything that is about technology. My social media usage, my internet behavior, my devices that I use, what desktop, mobile, tablet, everything that is there, what operating systems do I prefer? So if I'm an Apple, I cannot be pushed to buy a Windows or an Android phone. Unless it's I also look for a good deal and I'm willing to switch, which will tell me from other behavior variables. So understand that when I'm profiling or segmenting a customer, it could be a combination of multiple behavioral traits that helps me design a strategy better. Then we come to purchase intent. So what is my purchase intent? What is the information that will be included? Potential customers who have shown interest in the product but haven't made a Purchase, yes. So a fashion, let's go through the example that we have here. An online fashion retailer might target customers who have added items to their shopping cart but abandoned the purchase, intending to re-engage them with personalized offers. And this, you will see the purchase intent, you will see very commonly the example that is given here. Just maybe you saw an ad on Instagram and you decided to go buy their product and you put it in the cart, but you did not go back to it. If you have entered your personal information, it would immediately pop up. Oh, you have something left in your cart. Oh, there is a new offer in your cart. You'll get so much discount. Apply this code. And they'll keep giving you personalized offers. Why? So that you go and make that purchase. Because they are looking at converting the potential buyers to customers. The difference is when I spend money or the company makes a sale, that person becomes from a potential to a customer. That means it comes into the customer acquisition category. So they are looking at continuously re-engaging the customers. Customer lifetime value, we've spoken about this, which is derived information and will consist of the total revenue a customer is expected to generate over their entire relationship. So a subscription-based streaming service might prioritize customer with a high CLV as they are likely to be a long-time subscriber and contribute more to the firm's revenue over a period of time. So suppose I have not renewed, I have been purchasing like the highest plan, subscription plan that has been available and been continuously purchasing it. That means first of all, the firm or the organization is getting repeat business without having to spend additional marketing costs. And supposedly I don't renew one day. So what is going to happen? They're going to try to re-engage me. Oh, you've lost your subscription. Please go and renew. This is a new deal that you have. This is something that you can try. So someone who is spending a very high amount or is known to spend a high amount will be more targeted so that I keep getting that high amount as a repeat business. Then what are my pain points and my needs? So what are the challenges? What are the problems? What are the requirements that the customer face in their daily life? So online grocery deliveries might address the pain point of constraints of targeting busy working people who seek convenient and time-saving solution. And this is something that we have seen happening around us today. A lot of people, especially in metropolitan cities, are continuously finding ways to and things to manage. So at times I might be working long hours. I do not have a guaranteed time when I'll be home. I'm staying alone or every family member is out of the house. So even where earlier we used to have grocery apps that obviously when you talk about your local grocery vendor, he comes around at a particular time. And if you're coming home late at night and you need things, you're not going to find a grocery vendor after 11 in the market. Or I will maybe need to go to the main market to pick up the groceries I need. So how do I survive for the food for that day? So now grocery delivery apps have started where I can order it, choose to order in advance. So I'm order it or assign this user slot where I know I'm going to be available. But I also go and I have now over a period of time have an option where I literally today businesses are competing in that shorter time of delivery with lesser delivery charges. So I order from one app and it delivers in 11 minutes. Other would say I will deliver in 5 or 9 minutes. Yeah, the prices of the products change, but right now for most of these individuals, the pain point is not the price. The pain point is mainly getting the groceries quickly so that work can be continued or food can be made as per their convenience. Then we have communication preferences, which will be the information on how customers prefer to be communicated. Email, SMS, social media, direct email. For example, an email might segment customers based on their communication, ensuring that receive message in their preferred format. So am I more an email person? Do I respond to offers more on email because I'm continuously working in front of the laptop? Or do I like direct messages on my Instagram? Am I more frequent on that? What exactly is my preference? And that method would be used to basically communicate with me to ensure that I respond and I deal with the offer or I go and make the purchase. Now we've come to the next part of our section in this chapter, which is customer persona. I said we are going to be discussing two things in detail. We are going to be discussing customer profiling and we are going to be discussing customer persona. Now, what does a customer's persona talk about? So where customer profiling has to do with an actual customer, the customer persona has to do more with the fictional representative of an ideal customer that you can see as a definition over here. So what does my definition say? That a customer persona, also known as a buyer persona or a marketing persona, is a fictional representation of an ideal customer based on real data and research. So now what I'm doing is basically earlier I was catering to the customer profiles that I had. I was catering to the different customers that were available. Now what am I going to cater to? I am now going to cater, I suppose now have a new product. So where I'm looking at new product development from a customer point of view, now I'm looking at a new product development from the business point of view. Now I have a new product or there is a new thing that things have been launched. So first thing is understanding that using actual data driven decision making, I'm going to now define what is my ideal customer for this product going to look like. So ideally, when I'm talking about ideal characters, it is a fictional representation. It might not meet, it might meet somebody, but it gives me a detail about what is the ideal customer who's going to buy this product. So that basically separates customer profiling from or customer segmentation from customer persona. It is detailed and semi-fictional profile that encapsulates the characteristics, preferences, behavior, and needs of a specific segment of the business's target audience. That's what I said, that today I have a new product and I want to launch that new product. So who are the buyers or which is the audience I need to target? So I will now, so suppose we all know that most of the actors do a lot of voiceovers. Now when I'm doing a lot of voiceovers, over a period of know what works, what doesn't work, how exactly is the voice, and ultimately even giving your voice or recording your voice is a skill that can be developed. Not everyone would have the right voice, but then maybe I can do that. So what I can do is, now, basically, if I've developed a new, as a voice recording studio, maybe I've developed a new course or I'm launching a course which will help me train people in voiceovers, different kinds of voiceovers. So what do I do in that case? Now, whom do I target? Who is my actual audience going to be? So this, for this particular, you will need to get into customer persona to understand who are the possible, what are the characteristics, what are the preferences, what are the behaviors. Maybe somebody who follows more of voice over artists, somebody who's interested into advertising, somebody who's looking for some kind of interest in maybe singing or getting a course on singing, training their voice. Such, you will need to find people like that. Once I have that fictional profile created, it makes my job much easier for me to understand what kind of a targeted audience am I looking at, rather than already building a target audience and seeing who will be able to buy that product. It might just not work right. Customer personas are developed through combination of quantitative data analysis, qualitative research, including interviews, surveys, feedback from existing customers. So all of that needs to be considered. So I will be doing not only quantitative data analysis, I will also be looking at a lot of qualitative research, personal interviews, I'll be looking at feedbacks, what are people saying, what are people not saying, what are the customers that have targeted saying about the entire profile or the entire course that I'm working on, the product that I've developed. Now let's understand, we've already understood this, but let's quickly look at a customer profile versus customer persona. Profiling involves gathering and analyzing data about customers to create a comprehensive overview of their characteristics, preferences, behaviors, and needs, And profiling aims to identify common traits and patterns among customers to segment them into different groups. And then you can understand which group you want to target. Profiling process typically involves collecting information on various key variables through various sources, including surveys, interviews, social media, customer transaction records, as well as CRM databases. While the purpose of customer profiling is to gain insights into different customer segments, enabling businesses to tailor their marketing strategy, product development, and customers to meet the specific needs and expectations of each and every segment. Understanding target customer at a deeper level enables companies to create more personalized, effective marketing campaigns, improve customer satisfaction, and drive higher conversion rates. Personal development, on the other hand, involves creating semi-fictional representative or archetypes of ideal customers within specific segments. So I can also, based on the last sentence that we are looking at, I can also have a customer segmentation, and even within the customer segmentation, I could pick up a persona development or do a customer persona profiling over there. So I can even have personas or segment personas created within each of the segment groups, targeting or understanding who are the, out of this, who are the people I need to target. Or I can generally, as I said, use my entire customer base data to identify my fictional profiles that I want for this particular product or not. So where customer profiling helps me design specific personalized marketing strategies, specific programs for that group or for that segment or which I'm targeting, or I can even choose to have a product, new product for each segment. I can have a new strategy for each segment. On the other hand, when I do a fictional profile, it helps me understand what is my ideal customer, and then I can launch the product or give the product to them. So personas are detailed profiles that encapsulate the same thing, which is characteristics, motivations, goals, behavior of these hypothetical customers. They are often given names and images and personal narratives to make them more relatable and memorable. Everything is about a story. So even your fictional character needs to have a name to the face that is there. So not just thing, but an image. So even today, we remember the old man from KFC, the joker from McDonald's, or the person sitting there with McDonald's. So these are all hypothetical brand ambassadors that were created. So we've given not only a name to them, an image to them, and all of that. Personas are developed based on insights gained from customer profiling and serve as a reference point for decision making during marketing and product development, user experience design processes. So again, my data is going to be the same for customer profiling and personas. And ultimately, the data is going to serve as a reference point. So what decisions am I making about the marketing strategy? What are the decisions I'm making about the product development? How is the entire user design process going to be? And all of that. Personas help teams empathize with their target customer, understand their pain points, and make informed decisions to meet their needs specifically. Again, a specific persona or a specific group with a daily challenge or some challenge can, or a certain pain point, if I've basically segregated based on that, then it will help me understand what was a pain point, and then I can basically guide my customer service to be able to empathize with them within the right way, so that I am able to meet them, I'm able to connect with them, which ensures higher customer engagement. While developing personas, businesses typically consider all the key variable characteristics of each segment. So if I'm talking about building personas within the segments, I need to know what are the key characteristics of each and every segment, whether it is a technographic or demographic data. Do they fit into a particular age criteria? Do they fit into a particular gender criteria? Are they having a specific income group? are they having the same kind of interest or hobbies, but I will need information about each key variable characteristics for the entire segment, and like that for all the segments that are there. Personas help companies align their strategies, messaging, and user experience with the specific needs and segmentations of their target customers. Both customer profiling and personal development are iterative processes that require continuous data collection, analysis, and refinement. They provide valuable tools for businesses to understand their customers, develop targeted marketing strategy, and create engaging experience that resonate with their target audiences. So why are we saying that we continuously need to go back and do data collection, understand has anything changed? Because people change over a period of time. Their habits change, their lifestyle changes, their interest changes, their hobbies change. So only if I'm continuously touching base on that data, getting more information about my customer. Social media platforms are changing. Still, some people prefer to stick on to the old ones. So what is the profile that I fall into? What is the persona I fall into is very important for the business to understand. Like I said, I maybe have been a non-vegetarian. I shifted to a vegetarian diet and now I'm shifting to a vegan diet. That is a change in my food preferences. And especially when I'm a brand that is delivering things related to food, maybe it could be grocery items, it could be actual food delivery apps. So I will need to address this kind of audience or this change in audience, otherwise I'm going to lose that customer. And my entire prediction of the customer lifetime value, my sales, my profit will all go for a complete toss.